Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
All right, we want this guy to be our backup slot. We want him to push for the starting slot. If that's the case, why would you put him on the outside to start? So maybe that's not what they want. Maybe they want him to be in the mix for the outside job. Or maybe they just view him as a kind of a both. We want him to get reps at both because we want him to kind of be the backup in both spots.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Wednesday edition of Birds 365, joined now by Mike Gill of 97.3 ESPN Down the Shore. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. 100 days. Feels like it's almost here.
Yeah, 100 days. One day to a little on-field OTA action. That's exciting as well, Mike.
Now could I'm going to be the last OTAs. Yeah. Could these be the last OTAs?
Could be. Yeah, we should discuss that because the NFLPA is pushing to remove spring OTAs and kind of push it back to a longer ramp-up period for training camp. Boy, and evidently it's not going over well on either side. By the way, I don't think it's a good thing, because – one of the things, and you and I have talked about this a lot over the years, Mike, is that the NFL sets up the calendar so well. They're almost always in the forefront of everyone's mind, even when big events are happening, like the NBA playoffs. People are still tuned into the NFL. And one of the reasons, because they do such a good job with the calendar, OTAs are part of that. You know, it's a big deal here that, even though it's kind of shouldn't be, but it's a big deal when we'll be out there tomorrow and tweeting and telling everybody about what's going on. That helps the NFL's popularity and keeps them. And if you have that bigger lull, I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely, there's a flow that keeps them in the public eye. Every month they give you a little something. And you know, we were talking the other day, as you get to Memorial Day weekend, you know, it's, for the baseball season, it's kind of like, oh, it's summertime, it's hitting season. Well, for football, you know, you get these OTAs, you know, you're into June pretty much now. I mean, at the end of this week, we're going to be into June. At the end of June, you're waiting for training camp to start. Right. I mean, really, you have 1 month to go where June doesn't give you really any NFL other than the anticipation for training camp to kind of get going. So if they took, not that anything, they're not going to get hurt by taking the time off, believe me.
No.
It was funny when this kind of came out yesterday. I liked Albert Breer's tweet saying that basically it was kind of meant like the Hindenburg, like the coaches and the front office executives. Yeah, because these guys want to, you know, we always kind of downplay what OTAs mean and stuff like that. And obviously inside those buildings, they feel a little differently that they want to get their hands on these guys.
I think it's really important for the young players. I think it's really important.
Right. They want to get their hands on these guys and they want to start. Like, coaches like to coach. Coaches like to get their, you know, you're saying, hey, we got a game tomorrow or we have a practice tomorrow. Those coaches want to be on the practice field getting these guys ready. And, you know, you take that element away from them, you know, that's something that obviously is not being met very well, especially with the coach and the front office executives. Apparently, I loved it. It was being met like the Hindenburg.
Yeah. But also the players, guys, didn't like it. I don't know, John,
because in the original Tom Pelissero tweet, he did follow it up and say a lot of players like it. I didn't think they would, but that's what the tweet said.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's individual. I'm not going to say nobody likes it, but I saw a lot of players like, and somebody tweeted, you know, yeah, I'm gonna cut short my vacation in the Maldives to come back for a passing camp. And especially if you're an offensive lineman and you got to show up, because remember, these things are voluntary. Lane Johnson is down in, you know, working out and you know, offensive lineman, the O-line masterminds facility and down in Texas. And, you know, James Bradbury obviously doesn't want to show up for obvious reasons, but he's got a charity event. And guys are in and out. Devontae Smith wasn't there last week. You know, he's built up that deference to say, all right, I got something I got to take care of. Who knows what it is? Could be sconces like Kerry Williams back in the day. Could be anything. But those guys, Fletcher used to talk about it all the time. Pops his head in. He might be there one day, might be not be there the next, but he tries to be involved when he was around as a player. They're voluntary, especially for the veterans. They're technically voluntary for everybody, but obviously the young players kind of have to show up. That's kind of indoctrinated. But if you push it back, and I think this is the problem with those veteran players, they're going to be required to show up for that goofy passing camp. And that's going to be a big issue. When Xander points out, some of the players are saying that's not bad. When they get that information, they might change their mind.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, you say you push it back. Well, I laugh because this OTA was what, one day last week and what's it, 2 days this week?
Well, they're three. It was 3 and 3. We're just allowed in for one day. So they were back on the field Tuesday after Memorial Day. Then they have the day off. Then they're going then Thursday. Well,
so there was one on Tuesday and then off today, and then two the next Tuesday. And then they had another set before that. So I think if, you know, like having the whole offseason and only have 6 days that you actually have to report to do stuff, and you don't even have to. I wouldn't want to trade that off either. Doesn't sound like a good idea.
Well, and by the way, you can have as many as 10. Some teams have 10. The Eagles only choose to use 6 this year.
Mm. I don't know if the rookie minicamp was included in that proposal or whatever you want to call it, because I've always liked that. Like, you get drafted, it's not like, okay, go celebrate for a month. It's like you're at camp right away, which I've always liked. I don't know how much they learn from that, but I do like the fact that rookies get drafted and then boom, you're right to work the next week.
Well, you look at every other league, you know, not every other league, but like, for instance, one of the reasons we've been talking about Caitlin Clark so much, she was just on the court a month ago playing in the national championship, and the WNBA has the benefit of her being right on the court a month
that
later.
Helped them a lot.
The NBA has that rookie, those games out in the Vegas Summer League games.
Yeah.
So they get drafted, and a couple days, like, you know, 2-3 weeks later, you get a chance to see those guys play. I mean, even in baseball, you get drafted, they're sending you to some sort of rookie. Now, you don't get to watch them, but to have the players who just get drafted immediately doing something is a benefit to everybody, the players, the leagues, the teams, to keep them at the top of the mind. Because, you know, quite frankly, these guys get drafted in April. They have a three-day little mini rookie camp. You don't hear or see anything about them until really August, when they possibly might get into an exhibition game.
Yeah, and I would say structure is not a bad thing for young people as well. So I, you know, even in the current setup, and the Eagles are having a mini camp, so June 4th to June 6th, first time in Nick Sirianni's era, and then June 7th to late July, they're off. And that's the time of year when coaches and GM watch their phone, and they don't want to see that unknown number and something, and they get the call that somebody somewhere is in trouble.
Well, that was another thing that, you know, I mentioned on my show yesterday, which is I'm assuming the players in front offices like the fact that they can have some sort of tabs on the players. You let them go for 2 months, they'll be watching that phone a little bit extra long.
Yeah, that's part of it. And, you know, I mean, guys have to be adults, and that's easy to say. I mean, you're down in the Shore. You saw what happened at the Shore, man. The Jersey Shore over Memorial Day weekend. I mean, we were all young. Xander is still young. I did some stupid crap when I was young. I don't know anybody who didn't. So, yeah, structure's not a bad thing for, you know, one of the goopiest things, I'll bring it up, I'm on a tangent, Isaiah Rodgers being suspended. To me, it's the dumbest, most regressive thing. And when the NFL suspends anybody for anything, they bar you from the facility. In other words, they bar you from a support system. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that? Especially when it comes to drugs or something of that. If you got a guy, all right, suspend him, but you're barring him from the team and all of the facility. You know, he could go there to work out. Now we can't do that. They might have a therapist, and everybody's got in-house therapists.
It's probably the one place he'll go where there's no trouble.
Yeah.
Won't get in trouble.
It's the dumbest, most regressive policy.
It's like the kid in when he's young, the parent says he can't play because he got in trouble at school. You're like, well, this is the one place that he's not going to get in trouble. Like, you want him to like kind of get structured. You let him, you know, that used to be the thing. Let him play sports, take away other things in his like exactly. Those things.
Yeah. But anyway.
That was Isaiah Rodgers.
Yeah. Isaah looked good.
Deion Sanders said everybody was
he was one of the hype men. Now, here's the thing about OTAs. He was starting next to Darius Slay, so that got people excited on the outside. But remember, Bradbury's not there because it's voluntary and he sees the writing on the wall. Kelly Ringo's not there, which kind of surprised us all. No injury that we know of. And he probably would have started if he were there. And now I'll be very interested to see if he's out there tomorrow. Then Eli Ricks was out there, but he tweaked something. He went in the injury tent. So he was working with, you know, during individuals. And when they went to team drills, he just sat out. So, you know, if Bradbury's there, he's starting. If Ringo's there, he's probably starting. If Ricks is there, he might be starting over Rodgers. And by the way, that's not an insult to Rodgers. That's just how Nick does it. Quinyon Mitchell didn't start because he's a rookie. So they started him on the second team. And most, same thing with Cooper DeJean, but he was in the slot. Cooper DeJean, sorry. Going the
Philly's getting you, Johnny Mac.
Yeah. And all the other guys were like third team that were healthy. The Jeremiah Trotters, the Johnny Wilsons, the Trevor Keegans, all those were third team. That's just how the Eagles do it. They don't want to decree, and Quinyon looked great, but they don't want to just anoint him as the starter. So they kind of defer. So you have to have always in OTAs, you have to realize who isn't there and how that may affect the depth chart that's on the field. But he looked good. He got an opportunity. And the most impressive part, Mike, he hasn't been on a football field in over 500 days.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the other question regarding that would turn out to be like, what are they going to do? I mean, is he only out there because of all those guys that you just mentioned? They're going to look at him in the slot at all? Does he not get that opportunity to take reps in the slot? Because obviously you would think they would want Mitchell or DeJean to win the outside job, or Ringo or Ricks. So where would Rodgers fall on that depth chart of who they want to play that position? Like, are you not giving him a fair shot at winning the slot job by putting him out there? Those are the kind of things I always think about in these. Like, where does the coaching staff want him to play? And do they want him to win a job, or do they just want him to be a depth piece?
Yeah, I think the slot corner long, I mean, maybe past this year, he's only 26 years old. So as different as the cornerback room looks this year, it might look really different again next year. If Slay is gone, he's 33. Avante Maddox might be out of there. Now you have Quinion, you have Cooper DeJean, you have Isaiah Rodgers, assuming these guys pan out. We obviously don't know really about any of them. But I think maybe that's – Isaiah strikes me as more of a preparation for the future type of move. I don't know if they'll keep him that long, but I do. He is young. He's 26 years old. So if he's showing signs already, maybe he could be someone that is either a long-term slot or even an outside guy.
Yeah, well, and they have – I mean, now you have Quinion, Cooper, Rodgers, Ricks, Ringo. I mean, there's just a lot of guys there.
Still a lot of guys, yeah.
Most of those guys project as outside guys. So if you're the coaching staff and it's like, hey, we have this guy. He didn't play at all last year. Don't know, what do we want him to be? Where do we project him in our minds of what we need and what we want him to be? I think that is the way coaches, I don't know, generally would think is, all right, we want this guy to be our backup slot. We want him to push for the starting slot. If that's the case, why would you put him on the outside to start? So maybe that's not what they want. Maybe they want him to be in the mix for the outside job, or maybe they just view him as a kind of a both. We want him to get reps at both because we want him to kind of be the backup in both spots.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it does indicate right away. Remember, when you have 90 guys and the Eagles are about 80, I forget, 87 or 88 right now. So they have a couple spots. But when you have that many players, it's not a necessity to move guys into different positions unless you really want to work on that other than. So Cooper, for instance, he worked inside and outside because they want him to do that. That's what they want. That's what the plan is. So with Isaiah, as you get closer to the 53, and you really don't do that anymore. It's not old school where you had two cuts. It's just one big lump. So you can go the whole summer and you got so many guys, you don't need to start that cross training. But the smart coaches, they better get it. They better get a feel for, you know, who their final 53 is going to be. And even if they don't want Rodgers inside, they might have to want play Rodgers inside. Look what happened last year in the slot. They ran 9 bodies through the slot. So at some point it's going to start, but I don't think it's going to start until really, really late with him when it comes to cross training. I think they saw what he did in Indianapolis, and they think he could be an outside corner. And they got a ton of them, like you said, Mike. We were talking about depth. Cornerback is all of a sudden the deepest part of this team. Now, they're unproven, but they all have – Isaiah might be the most proven. He's got 500 snaps, a couple years in Indianapolis. Ringo's got a lot of potential. Ricks has got a lot of potential, at least as a coverage guy. Yeah, Mitchell now, Cooper, Darius Slay. James is probably not going to be here. That's pretty good depth. And then inside, if Abonte stays healthy, even Tyler Hall's played, they have some pretty good depth. Conversely,
they don't have as much depth at safety.
I can't say it about any other position. That's where it was going. They don't have a lot of depth on this team on paper.
Right. I mean, you got Chauncey and Blankenship and Sidney Jones, and I mean, everybody else is pretty. McCallum's, I guess, in that room.
Ty Gardner seems to have moved. Yeah.
So there's not a whole heck of a lot of depth there, but it'll be interesting. I think also, like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the way that they end up using him, like, is he going to be kind of a guy that Vic Fangio's like, I could do a lot with this guy, the way he used Justin Simmons in Denver was, you know, like something similar to that role. Like, does he have a guy on this roster that he feels like he can use in that way?
Have you closed the door on Justin Simmons?
No, never. Of course. I mean, he's still out there. You have Howie Roseman and you get to camp and you start looking around and saying, we don't like what we have here, or we could use another body, or we can get him at the price we want. So the fact with Simmons is that he's played for Fangio. That's a different piece here, is that he would come into a situation in a defense that he, or not a situation, but the defense that he would feel pretty comfortable in with the terminology right away. It wouldn't be like a Kevin Byard situation. Not yeah. that, like, you get the training camp, but Byard comes in the middle of the season and doesn't really know the defense. And that could have been part of the reason why he struggled a little bit. That wouldn't be the case with a veteran like Simmons. And if Howie thinks he can get him at that price, especially, you know, on the terms that they want, that wouldn't floor me in the least bit if they brought him in.
Yeah, I mean, and look at the safety position. You got CJ GJ, who's missed plenty of games the last 2 years. Reed Blankenship missed games. Sidney Brown got injured last year, his rookie year. And then the guy they moved over from slot corner was Avante Maddox. We all know his injury history. So really, that's a room you're going to need to stay healthy, or you're going to need more depth at. And well, I think Justin Simmons would be a good fit.
Yeah, the injury point's a good one, is that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he missed all but 3 games last year. Yeah. He missed, 6 games for you the year before? Yep. And he's an impact player. If you lost a player of that impact, they don't have anybody close. And Sidney Brown is another guy who they might be kind of a – you know, he's just a high energy guy all over the field. He's coming off an ACL injury, so you don't know what kind of impact he's going to make when he gets back. So bringing a veteran safety in that could step right in would certainly be something that wouldn't surprise me at all, especially one who has played for Vic.
You know, we were talking about injuries before you came on, Mike, and there's, you know, I always say you can't legislate injuries. So it's a waste of time to try from my standpoint, but I do hearken back to what Vic said, Vic Fangio, during his press conference. And he said, he was asked about how players have changed and you deal with youth players on a baseball level. And he said, the players haven't changed. The people around them have changed.
Yeah.
And I brought up a Kelsey and I brought up DeMario Davis, because he's one of my favorite players, and I mentioned the Xander. Somebody tweeted out, he's played 98 straight games at linebacker in the NFL, which is a really physical, difficult position, obviously, to stay on the field.
And he's 35 years old.
And he's 35 years old.
Pretty incredible.
So anyway, my point was, if you've watched Kelsey over the past number of years, and people don't get to see him behind the scenes, like, he ain't healthy. I mean, he's got to tape up that damn elbow, like I said, like he's a stormtrooper, just to get through practice. And he played all those games in a row. And I'm thinking to myself, if that were Cam Jurgens and he had that elbow, the Eagles would shut him down and say, you can't play. And it might not even be Cam Jurgens' fault. He might want to play through it. Now, torn ACL is a torn ACL. There's nothing you can do. There's some lacerated kidney with CJ. Nothing you can do about it. You can't fight through that. But it's changed, right? They don't let guys fight through injuries, at least until they build up some kind of status or deference.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure the way the league legislates injuries and everything now as well, with the gambling and the injury tents and all that stuff, that you have to be so transparent with all these injuries. You know, you get a guy. Jurgens will be interesting, as you mentioned. Like, we talked about this maybe last week. You take for granted that you had a guy that played every snap for 12 years, essentially, and you're having to replace him. I still kind of feel like that's not something – because you had a guy who literally played through injuries that probably would have had most other guys not playing in that week with Kelsey out there. Lane Johnson, he's another guy. He's missed a lot of games, but he's played through a lot of stuff that most people probably wouldn't be out there for.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy and Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
You're right, John. We've always talked about, like, you can't legislate when injuries occur. They just kind of happen. And, you know, the one thing you can't have happen is multiple injuries to the same position. That's when you really get hit hard. You know, the Eagles, the year they won that Super Bowl, they were able to kind of get past an injury here and there in this spot, but you didn't have like multiple guys get hurt. You know, your whole offensive line's not ravaged. When you lose four guys across your offensive line, teams just don't have the ability to kind of make up for that. If you lose, you know, three guys in your secondary, that's tough to kind of, you know, handle. You miss one guy at tackle, one guy at end, one guy at safety. All right, I have three different guys, but at least they're three different positions. I don't have to make it, you know, I'm on to my fifth guy stepping in there. And that's when teams really start to struggle.
Yeah, there's no way to overcome that. Mike, what do you think they're going to do here with Bradbury? June 1 is coming up. He wasn't at OTAs. Me and John kind of talked about it. It's a tough game to play with Howie, because do you play hardball and kind of, I don't want to say do the player wrong, but not give him the ability to go and fetch offers? Do you kind of wait for somebody to get hurt, try and trade him for something? Or do you move on from him before mandatory minicamp, where he's going to start racking up fines? He'll be a disgruntled veteran player. How would you handle the James Bradbury situation?
Man, I don't envy them at all with this situation. I mean, he doesn't show up, and obviously it's like, well, the writing was on the wall for him. Well, at least if I showed up, the writing says I want to be here. Give me an opportunity to win my job. Like, hey, listen, I get it. I didn't have a good year last year. For whatever reason, that's in the past. I'm going to show up and show you that I want to be here. Well, that's not the way he handled it. So does the Eagles front office say, well, we wanted him to be here. He didn't show up. And now we have to rethink, you know, the whole situation. You know, I don't know. This is a fascinating one. The draft says they don't want him here, right?
Yes, it does. That's the why, draft that's why I don't blame James at all, at all.
I get this, but sometimes it's like, you know, we say this all the time, you know, Aaron Rodgers, they draft Jordan Love, and we're like, well, don't complain. Just go out there. You're not going to lose your job to Jordan Love. At some point, James, you're getting older. We drafted a guy. He might not have to start now. Go play. And we're like, we don't blame him. If you think you're good enough, go, like, keep your job. It doesn't automatically mean Quinyon Mitchell getting drafted 22nd. He's taking your job maybe next year, but the whole situation, Xander, is weird to me. Like, did the Eagles last year think James Bradbury took a step back? Do they think he was in the wrong system? Do they think he could have a bounce back here? There's so many variables on what their mindset could be on him. Like, if you're sitting down in the cornerback room, Vic Fangio, and they're all having a conversation, guys, what do we think of James? Oh, I think he's got another year left in him. No, guys, I watched the tape last year. I think he's done. We don't know what they think about him. And him not being here doesn't help his case. Now, it doesn't also help his case around the league. And he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care what the Eagles get in return for him in a trade, I would imagine, unless he has some self-pride. Does he want to be the guy who gets traded for a seventh-round pick? Probably not. Or does he care if he just gets released altogether so he can go find wherever he wants to go play himself? Now, do the Eagles want to just flat-out cut him and eat the money? That's another variable here. Do they value the not having the dead cap space? So this whole situation has so many peels of the onion that if I told you I could give you a legitimate answer what I think is going to happen, I'd be lying to you, because I just gave you how many different scenarios of what could the mindset be and what could happen.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I actually do think James Bradbury would have a better year with Vic Fangio. I just don't know. With the way the draft board fell, I don't think the Eagles went into draft night saying, we're going to get two defensive backs in the top 40 picks. But that's how the board fell, and then they ended up doing it. And now I'm wondering if they're like, James, just stay out of here. We need to get these young guys more reps. We're going to move on from you anyway.
And by the way, the voluntary stuff, nobody's showing up for that. I mean, it's voluntary at this point. And he's got a charity event this week. Yeah, I mean, that's not an issue at all. The issue becomes June 4th through June 6th, when it's mandatory. And if he doesn't show up, And by the way, he might show up. I mean, he's a very professional player.
Yeah.
And he might show up and he might be the good citizen. But as I kind of said, look, the draft tells you. I had those discussions and I said, Mike, I would love to see. I think James Bradberry would have a bounce back year under Vic Fangio because Vic will use him correctly. He's a pure zone corner. I think he'll play well under Vic Fangio. But they did what they did. As Xander said, they drafted two cornerbacks in the top 40 picks.
Well, Xander's point is also valid, though. Did they envision the board falling the way they was? You know, now there was some talk about them trading up to go get one of these guys. They ended up not. They sat there, but they got both guys. Did they think they were getting
Well, two? They traded up to get Cooper. I mean, they thought they were going to get usurped by the Rams.
Yeah, but if Cooper wasn't there, maybe they wouldn't. They don't do that.
Right, if Cooper went in the first round.
Offensive line.
Yeah, yeah. But so the board fell the way it fell, but they loved the players. They loved Quinion and Cooper. And the writing is on the wall, for better or for worse. James isn't going to be a backup because he's not going to play special teams in his ninth year in the NFL. So you can and you have all these young corners with Kaylee Ringo and Eli Ricks on top of Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So from my standpoint, the best case scenario for the Eagles would be to push it into the summer, wait for that injury, and maybe get a day three pick. But is that worth having, doing a player wrong as what it would be doing? And taking him all the way up and limiting his options for what he contributed to this organization in 2022. I think from a standpoint, sometimes it's better to do right by the player than it is to hold out and be Sam Hinkie and say, oh, I got something for James Bradberry that's going to be meaningless down the road because it's probably going to be a conditional seventh, conditional sixth. Who cares?
It just so clouds the situation because of the amount of bodies they have in that room that they probably think can play. Like, it's a different situation if they don't have Ricks and Ringo and obviously they drafted two. You got four Rodgers. You got five guys who I'm sure the Eagles would say we feel somewhat comfortable playing them on the outside there. That's before you say, and James Bradberry might be the best of them, and he's the sixth guy. Now, again, I don't want to be people saying that James Bradberry is not better than this guy. We don't know. He might be cooked, or he might have been in the wrong system, had a bad year. A lot of reports say, he didn't like the system, or I don't want to say him, but somebody in the secondary didn't talk to the coach. I would imagine it was him. He didn't seem to play very well in that system. He didn't seem to like it very much. So if he's used better, I agree with you, John. I think there's probably more they could get out of him. So do you just flat out cut him and say, look, we're just going to move on? Do you try to trade him? The whole situation is definitely – now, I don't envision James doing sit-ups in his driveway. I think he's an interesting guy. He's a nice guy. He's a super nice guy. So does he show up and just do his job and wait to see what happens, what his fate is? I think this will be an interesting thing to see how it all plays out.
If I had a guess, I would say James will show up. If they don't, assuming they don't cut him, I think he will show up for the mandatory stuff next week. I don't think he's going to take the fines, almost $100,000 to sit out of minicamp. But we'll see. He's always struck me as a good professional guy. So
I just feel like that's the thing that's always wild to me is like somebody gets drafted at your position and you automatically feel like, that doesn't, I get it. Like it, the writing could be on the wall, but like, hey, I still have a contract. I'm here. That guy has to beat me out. You're basically saying, I don't think I'm good enough to hold this guy off for at least a year.
Well, if that were the reality, and if it were strictly, and the NFL likes to think they're a meritocracy and coaches, but they're not. I mean, they're not. I mean, if you draft a guy 22nd overall, you draft a guy, especially in this era, to get him on the field immediately.
True, but if you were any number of players and Nolan Smith got drafted, did you say, shit, I'm going to lose my job? That dude couldn't get on the field. He didn't take anybody's job last year. So why would James Bradberry feel any different from a guy drafted in the 20s.
Because there is a sliding scale. Like you brought up Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron was pissed off because he's Aaron, but you know, he told the story, he sat back and said, "Nah, that's interesting." Had a shot of bourbon, I think was what he was drinking at the time. And he went about his business because he's Aaron Rodgers.
His reasoning is more, we could have improved the team
around
me. Instead, they drafted a guy at my position. Not, well, wow, they took a guy that's going to take my position. The guy sat there for three more years now.
Well, and from Aaron's standpoint, he was right, to be honest. Now, long-term, look, GMs have to think about the long-term. Now it looks really good for Green Bay because it looks like,
sure,
damn, that team, you know, they've already had 30 something consecutive years of Hall of Fame quarterback play, and they might be getting it again. Who knows? Because he was pretty damn good in his first year as a starter. And I'm a big Jordan Love fan. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. So, you know, long term it works out, but you know, they didn't win at the end of Aaron's run, and he was playing at a really high level. You don't know what that butterfly. Maybe they could have improved the team. Maybe they got him over the hump. So I get it from that perspective. But Aaron was entrenched. James knows. We can all talk about the you know, that kind of stuff. Oh, go out and beat him out, and that's fine from a band standpoint, a mentality. It's not real. It's not real.
Well,
like James can't do anything.
If you have a guy making the money that Bradbury does, are you inclined? Well, first off, are you inclined to just cut him? That would be number one. Number two, are you inclined to bench him? Like, you didn't win the job. That's a tough thing to do, too. You're making that kind of money. It's hard for the team to justify not playing him. So you would have to really stink, I think, to say you got beat out with the money you make. Now, if you just flat out cut him, that's a different situation. But if he's on the team, it's like saying to Tobias Harris, sorry, you're not playing. People say, why is it Tobias Harris? He's getting paid $39 million. You can't just sit him. You know, he's competent. He can, you know, we might not like him, but James Bradbury isn't incompetent. So if he's making that kind of money, how does the coaching staff, we all want to hope that the coaching staff plays the right guy, money not part of the conversation. That ain't the case. Money is a part of the conversation, and his salary says
it's kind of reversed in the NFL, though. In some ways, look, if you're a superstar and he's not a superstar, that's different. It's just he had a really good season. The Eagles probably jumped the gun, extended him, probably shouldn't have. They're regretting it. There's a buyer's remorse. If there were any way that I thought that James Bradbury could show up and win this job, I think he could outplay every single cornerback on the roster every day in training camp. He wouldn't be here. I mean, that the writing is on the wall, and he knows it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's going to work. And the Eagles know it. Look, I mean, they're not going to keep a corner as a backup making that kind of money, Mike.
Especially one that can't play special teams.
Yeah. And they want, should that be the way it's done? Not necessarily. Look, these quarterbacks are the best example. I don't know when, but you're talking about Caleb Williams obviously is going to be a day one starter. They've already named him the day one starter, but Jane Daniels might not be ready. Marcus Mariota is going to be the backup, so he's going to start. Drake May, I'm sure, isn't going to be ready, but with that disaster of an organization right now, no skill position players, but they're going to push him on the field. Then you go down to who was next, Michael Penix. He's not playing because that's the weirdest pick in the history of the NFL draft. And then you have McCarthy. Look, Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold. I guarantee you he's more prepared to play than J.J. McCarthy week one of the NFL season. How long is he going to stay on the field, though? He better win, and he better win consistently because that's the only way he's staying on the field. Or they're going to push a guy who's completely not ready. And who am I missing? Who's the other quarterback?
Bo Nix.
Same thing.
30-year-old Bo Nix. Guy feels like he...
Bo Nix. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is now. They want these first round picks on the field.
The circle of life. Draft Sam Darnold number 3. Want to get him on the field. See that he's on the field and can't play. And then he's the guy who's on the field because the other guy they took when they shouldn't have taken can't play either. That's
well, different teams. Yeah,
that really is, Mike.
Different teams and different things. You know, Sam Darnold is one of the more interesting players of the year for me because he got to spend some time with Kyle Shanahan. So I was interested. I thought Kyle might wake up one day because of the way Kyle is and say, you know what? This guy's got way more talent than Brock Purdy. I thought there was a chance early in that process because remember, Brock was coming off the elbow injury where Hassan Reddick almost killed him. And I was like, Kyle might get Sam Darnold in there and fall in love with him. And it never happened.
Yeah. Well, on the Niners, that whole Purdy thing, it tells you how good they thought he was with the way they handled Trey Lance. I mean, they gave up a boatload to get Trey Lance and just said, nope. They didn't even give him an opportunity. Like,
I'm almost surprised that got brushed under the rug as fast as it did. I guess because they started winning.
Tell you, when people were questioning Purdy and like, I don't know. I was like, dude, this guy don't have to sell me on anything. He sold them enough to get rid of the guy they traded 3 first round picks to go get. That was the story. They said to everybody watching, I don't care what you see. We're seeing it right here. And this guy, Trey Lance, was drafted, 2 or 3 overall. They gave up multiple first round picks to get guy. And they said, we don't even want to give the guy an opportunity because we think this guy's that good. So that told me all I needed to know about how good Purdy was.
Trey Lance is now Jerry Jones' secret backup plan for when Dak Prescott wants $2 million.
I don't know if that's the case. I think Eagles fans hope that's the case, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. But, yeah, Mike's right. Anytime. You know, it's easy. Locally, it's not as big because it's not quarterback. And at Mike Gill's show, sorry we kept you long. We always, because you're so engaging, Mike. At Mike Gill's show, 97.3, the Sports Bash, 2 to 6. Listen to him. If you're down the shore and keep those unruly kids, keep them under control, Mike. It's your responsibility.
How about the I guess the woman who accosted Kylie Kelce the other night?
Oh God, yeah. What's up with her problem?
You won't be welcome. You'll never have a.
Be welcome. Then I think Jason Kelce can go to see y'all. I think Kylie's going to be fine. Right. What kind of lunatic was that? But I from the standpoint of locally, it was Andre Dillard, right? If Jordan Mailata didn't happen, Andre Dillard would be a bigger thing. And people still can't stand Derek Barnett. I feel like they're like, Andre Dillard. And why are they like, because Jordan Mailata.
Well, it's the bridge between you have to either be a all-pro level player or you have to stink. There is no like, hey, this guy's just a good player and that's okay. If you're not this level of player, you're the worst player. You know, everybody wants to have, it's either this guy's really good or he can't play. It's not just like, he's an average player, but he's a serviceable NFL. Like everybody has to have some role. It's like, you know, that's just the way people view things. Like you're either really, really good or you stink. There is no in-between. Dillard's kind of that guy who was probably would have been an in-betweener, just a solid, 8-year left tackle, not at a Pro Bowl level, but not horrible. And those kind of guys just kind of get lost in the weeds sometimes. Derek Barnett went down to Houston. You know, this year he'll probably be an all-pro because he's not going to stick.
John's right about him. He's not a bad pass rusher. The expectation coupled with the penalties and everybody,
the penalties totally killed him. It's like Dillard, the night he played right tackle, he got abused. And that's the only night anybody that stands out is how bad he was that night. Barnett, what stands out about him? Now, he didn't have the impact nearly that they traded up to get him. And then it didn't help that, hey, this guy broke Reggie White's records at Tennessee. So yeah, you drafted him at the organization that had Reggie White. So there is some like connection of, you broke Reggie White's records? You've got to be like the next greatest thing of all time. And that just like didn't help him either. And then the penalties. And then, to be fair, he was a situational pass rusher who didn't get to the quarterback as much as situationally would call for. So, you know, it didn't.
Yeah, he Benjamin Buttoned it. He was a really good player as a rookie, really important part of the Super Bowl team. You know, he recovered the fumble that Brandon caused. He was a solid player, and he was actually better. Vinny Curry was the starter, but Derek was better. He was the better player in that rotation when it came to that side of the football. And then it kind of got progressively worse. And there's some injuries on top of it. But he was a serviceable NFL player. If he's a third-round pick, as to your point, Mike,
right?
Yeah, he's solid. He's solid. And no one has a problem with him. But he was 14th overall. That's just the way it works, unfortunately.
Vinny Curry, you mentioned him. Vinny Curry, second-round pick. Hey, it's a pretty good player.
Yeah, yeah.
For a second-round pick.
Yeah, yeah. Expectations are a big thing in this league. And well, once you're a first-round pick, and that's the funny thing, Xander knows, one of my pet peeves is when people say former first-round picks. You're always a first-round pick. It's just a matter of a year. Derek Barnett's a 2017 first-round pick, not a former first-round pick, and that will follow him to the end of time. And it's kind of goofy because if you're 32nd versus 33rd, what does that really mean? But the one guy's a first round pick and the other guy's a second round pick. And the other guy has lower expectations.
That's how it goes in the NFL when you get drafted in the first round. That's just always going to be a part of it. Mike, sorry for keeping you so long, man. We appreciate you joining the show. Everybody, make sure you listen to Mike, especially if you're down the shore, 2-6, 97.3 ESPN, best sports talk show in all of the South Jersey. So good stuff from Mike Gill. Mike, thanks for joining us, man.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks, bud.
There's Mike Gill joining us on Birds 365. Always good to talk to Mike Gill every Wednesday at 8:20. Always brings the heat. Always brings good talking points to discuss with the Eagles. We'll take a commercial timeout. Coming up next, Brandon Lee Gowton is about 10 minutes away. So we'll get the BLG at 9:20. I got one thing I want to run by Johnny Mack in this short segment coming up, and it has to do with N'Kobe Dean. We'll talk about N'Kobe Dean coming up next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.